السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم. أما بعد, I can't seem to find the ayat, but in any case, last night, one of the ayats which you have heard many, many times, and I have also given the tafsir and the commentary and translation of that many times. But it's an ayat which is applicable to all of us. And that is the ayat in which Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says, وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ قَوْلًا مِمَّنْ دَعَا إِلَى اللَّهِ وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا وَقَالَ إِنَّنِي مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ قَوْلًا مِمَّنْ دَعَا إِلَى اللَّهِ وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا وَقَالَ إِنَّنِي مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is, He says that whose speech can be better than the speech of the one who calls towards Allah Ta'ala. That's all right, clear. Whose speech can be better than the speech of the one who calls towards Allah Ta'ala? وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا, and he does righteous deeds. وَقَال, and he says, إِنَّنِي مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ, I am from those who are Muslim, having submitted, in other words, having submitted myself to the will, to the desire, to the wish, to the sovereignty of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. So there are three things that have been mentioned in this ayat, and all those who want Islam to spread throughout the world, and all those who are very, very desirous that people must bring about a total reformation, total change in their lives, and everyone who is talking about a solution to the problems of the Muslim Ummah, then they must listen very carefully to this, to the message in this verse. One day a person came up to me, clean shaven, no identity, you cannot make out he's a Muslim. There's absolutely no way that you can recognize that the person is a Muslim. If you have to pass him on the street, you won't even make salam to him. How else do you expect to be? I mean, how are you going to make salam if you don't recognize the person to be a Muslim? There are many people who are wealthy, affluent, or they're holding some high position in some government department, or they are appointed to do some service to the royal palace, to the king and to the royal family. Now they got some very high position in society, or they are the head of some departments. Now sometimes you pass them on the street, you don't greet them, or you might just raise your hand, or just nod your head, or just say good morning or good evening, but you don't make salam. So they become very offended, and afterwards they comment on that these people think they are holier than thou just because they got Islamic garb, they got a beard, they got some topi. So therefore they think they're very holy, they don't make salam anymore. Indeed, I acknowledge that there are many of us who, unfortunately, we reserve salam only for those that we know. And that is what Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has mentioned in the Hadith Sharif too. Whereas salam should be to anyone and everyone who is a Muslim. There's dua in that salam. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give the person peace, happiness, contentment, satisfaction. Allah Ta'ala give him the best in this dunya, in the qabr, in the akhirat. There's such a long dua there that the person is making. But now they feel that this person, but I'm talking about those people who do make salam to others, whether they are black or white or brown or any color. We must not reserve our salam only for those that we know. How many a times it happens that we have some people of another color that may be in the masjid, but just because we don't know them, or just because we don't have any kind of friendship or some business relationship, so therefore we expect that person to make salam to us. And sometimes that person makes salam, we don't even give jawab and respond. But that is the subject of salam, which I will discuss inshallah, and I have discussed many, many times. So we should make salam to everybody. However, the person that you cannot recognize, then how are you going to make salam to him? Now they feel very offended that these people, they think that they are holier, therefore they do not make salam. But in reality, this person makes salam to everybody, but provided he recognizes the person that is a Muslim. So now this person, clean shaven, no Islamic identity, Now he is telling me, he says, well, now the Ummat is suffering and this is the solution to the problem and that is the solution to the problem, and gave me a lot of solutions to the problem of the Ummat. So this ayat is something that we should ponder over, where Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says that whose word and whose speech can be better than the speech of the one who calls towards Allah Ta'ala. Because solution to problems we have to find in the Quran Sharif and in the Sunnah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. So the Ummat, even in the time of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, those Muslims were identified as Muslims. Although they were troubled, they were harassed, they were persecuted, they were tortured. But the fact is that they did not lose their Islamic identity. We are not saying that it is haram to wear shirt and pant. Nobody is saying it is haram in a society where everybody else is wearing that kind of garb, and nobody really points a finger and says that that's the garb of some Western person, or it is the person is a disbeliever if he's wearing that kind of special garb. Then it is permissible. That is a different issue. It is permissible. But where our Muslim employers and Muslim companies, where they insist that this Muslim must shave off his beard, then only we will employ him. Or he must dress like the Westerners dress, then we will employ him. Now that is very, very hurtful. In Medina Sharif, in the hotel there, the person is not being given employment because he has got a beard. And he was crying at the Rosa Mubarak. He cried, cried, and he came out. And he happened to meet me and he related his story. That he's working in Riyadh and there's a hotel there. And the manager said quite clearly that although you are a hafiz of the Quran Sharif, whatever you may be, but if you want employment in my hotel, you shave your beard and then come. Now look at how we are just giving in, or we have become like the monkeys aping the others. In Makkah, Medina Sharif, if we are not going to allow that which Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam emphasized upon. So this ayat of the Quran Sharif, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ قَوْلًا مِمَّنْ دَعَى إِلَى اللَّهِ. That invitation must be towards Allah Ta'ala. We must not be inviting to ourselves. Now if we have to look at the majority of us who are calling in the name of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, I'm talking about organizations in general, I'm talking about individuals, I'm talking about people around the globe who are saying that they are calling towards Allah Ta'ala. But if you have to really look at it, the majority are calling towards themselves, or they calling towards some other selfish motives and desires that they have. There are many people who try to pass on the message of deen solely so that they may get something in return. The niyat and maqsad is not to pass on the deen of Allah Ta'ala, but just to swell their own coffers and to make their bank balances go high, or so that they may get favors from those people that they are passing the deen to. So that is not inviting towards Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Now this is the whole subject. Nevertheless, so the first thing is the invitation towards Allah Ta'ala. The person's da'wat, the person's invitation, the person's call must be towards none but Allah Ta'ala and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. That means towards the deen of Allah Ta'ala, towards the Quran Sharif, towards the Sunnah of Nabi Alayhi Salatu Wasalam. That the person talks about the greatness of Allah Ta'ala. He talks about Allah Ta'ala's qudrat, His azmat, His greatness, Allah Ta'ala's bounties, His ni'mats, and what Allah Ta'ala has promised in this world, in the akhirat. He invites towards the Quran Sharif. So in this way, the call is towards Allah Ta'ala. So whose speech can be better than that person's speech? That means of all the speeches in the world, now we say that Mr. So-and-so gave a very powerful speech. In Parliament he gave a powerful speech. In Cabinet he gave a powerful speech. State of the Nation address, what a powerful State of the Nation address Mr. Bush gave and Mr. Blair gave and Mr. This gave and that gave. Now all those are speeches, and there are plenty of speeches like that in the world. But Allah Ta'ala, and there's nothing wrong, for the occasion a person has to make a certain speech that is befitting that occasion. There's nothing wrong with that. If there is a manager, or if there is a director of financial affairs, or the person is an auditor or is a bookkeeper or something, and now he is told to present his report. Now when he comes to present his report, he gives you a whole speech on deen, on sharia, on Quran, on sunnah. But it doesn't tell you anything about what is the condition of the business and the finances and whether the business is running at a loss or it's improving and what changes must be made. So then we will say that that speech was not appropriate for that occasion. Islam is a very balanced religion, very beautiful religion. Wherever that speech is required, then he must give that speech. So we are not talking about the permissibility or impermissibility. What I am saying is that Allah Ta'ala is talking about the best of all speeches. They're all the speeches in their places, but the one who calls towards Allah Ta'ala, that is the best of all speeches. So, وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ قَوْلًا مِمَّنْ دَعَى إِلَى اللَّهِ. But this is the condition, that the da'wat must be towards Allah Ta'ala. The person must be completely oblivious. He must not even think, he must not even have at the back of his mind any kind of selfish motive. Now we don't say that it is not permissible to take some salary for some deen work and khidmat. It is permissible. Because if everybody is going to say we're not going to take a salary, then the people are not going to work. They're going to give it up. How many people are going to teach in the madaris, and how many are going to make imamat, and how many are going to do deeni service? If we tell all of them don't take salary, because if they don't take, they'll have to go to the bazaars, they'll have to go and run business, and then they'll have to earn. So then we will say that all of them left the jobs and went away. What else must they do? They have to feed the families too. But the dedication that I'm talking about, that the person's whole objective of life, his maqsad, his niyat, his intention must be nothing but da'wat and call towards Allah Ta'ala. After that, Allah Ta'ala is the provider, and he will provide from his treasures and sources unknown. When we are going to turn our face towards Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, then he is going to provide, he is going to create the conditions, he is going to create the means of sustenance and everything else. But if we are going to face our backs towards Allah Ta'ala and our faces towards dunya, so then we will have to keep on chasing the dunya, and the dunya will keep running ahead. And once again I repeat, and I will go on repeating until I leave inshallah, that when we are talking about dunya, lots of people say that these ulama, they condemn dunya, and the speakers, they condemn dunya, yet they use cars and they stay in good homes and they wear good clothes, and yet they condemn dunya. So that is the fault of the speakers or the fault of the listeners. Dunya is not the name of gold, not the name of silver, not the name of clothes, not the name of homes, not the name of cars. That is not dunya. Dunya is that which diverts the person's remembrance from Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. The person goes and buys a good mattress, but why does he buy that good mattress? So that he may sleep properly until the sun has risen. Then we'll say that this person, now that bed has become dunya for him. The person is spending that money in wrong places. Allah Ta'ala gave him wealth, so that was not dunya if he earned it properly. If he earned it through halal sources, he did not bring that money through gambling dens, and it was not through hijacking of containers, and it was not through other kind of backdoor good selling, and it was not through any other kind of haram investments. The person earned it in a halal way. So now if he uses it correctly, then it is not dunya. But if that wealth now takes him to the front seat of those Hollywood, Bollywood shows, then that has now become dunya. If that money takes him to the discos, to the theatres, to the gambling dens, to the dance clubs, or if that money now takes him to all the haram places, or he uses it in haram causes, so that has now become dunya, because it has diverted his attention from the giver of that ni'mat, and that is Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. So we stop here today, inshallah we'll continue tomorrow, although the program will be from Stanger, but I've been told that this radio station will be picking it up. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq of amal. So the first thing is that the call must be towards none but Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala make the remaining days of Ramadan, which are the last 10, most beneficial, most fruitful, full of rahmat, full of barakat. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala give us the tawfiq to make qadr and have the azmat of these remaining days. It is a mubarak month, and they are the last days, and they are not for entertainment, for pleasure, for fun, for sports, and for all kinds of other futile activities. Allah Ta'ala has sent this great, blessed, Mubarak month so that we may benefit from it. and draw the maximum of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's rahmat and mercy in this Mubarak month. And I always give that example that the last 10 nights are like the last 10 flights. If, for example, there are flights that are leaving for Hajj, see, from now people are worried that if the quota is going to be only 2,000, then what? Will I get a seat or not? Will I be able to make it or not? And they were told to register from June, so they did that. And they were told to do this and do that and get your passports and apply for visas and apply for this and everything that they said the person is doing. Why? Because he wants to be on that flight. So in the same way, we should make every effort to be on those flights that will be taking off. The flight of the 21st, the flight of the 23rd, the flight of the 25th and 27th and 29th. And in fact, every night there's one flight that's going. So we must, and finally we'll be told that finished, Ramadan is over, flights are all gone. So get on to any flight. May Allah Ta'ala connect us with Him. And believe me, the day Allah Ta'ala becomes ours, then everything is ours. I conclude, agar ek tu nahi mera to koi shay nahi meri, jo tu mera to sab mera, falak mera, zami meri. If Allah Ta'ala is not ours, you can do what you want, nothing will be ours. We can have plentiful, but no peace, no happiness, no contentment, no satisfaction, restlessness, anxieties, worries and problems. And if Allah Ta'ala becomes ours, then even if there's nothing, the person will still enjoy sukoon in his life. May Allah Ta'ala bless me, bless you and the ummah with the best of dunya, the best of akhirat. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.